Welcome to Awesome Talk, a production of Arkansas State University Mountain Home with support from KTLO. Hi, I'm Christy Kern, and I'll be introducing you to the awesome people and programs right here in our community on the campus of ASU Mountain Home. Good morning. We are back for another edition of Awesome Talk, and I'm so excited to introduce you to one of my favorite people at ASU Mountain Home, Dr. Julia Gist, who is the dean of our School of Health Sciences. And besides that, she's just a wonderful person and somebody that I find super easy to talk to. So as I get used to doing a podcast, I'm looking at people as guests that I know I have lots of things to talk about with and who I enjoy visiting with and know that you will too. Dr. Gist is really, truly one of the kindest people that I've met and has been at ASU for how long, Dr. Gist?
I'm finishing my eighth year at ASU Mountain Home.
That's a long time.
It's the longest I've ever worked anywhere in a 38-year career.
But you're from here.
I am, yes.
Tell folks about your journey. You graduate from Mountain Home High School?
I did.
You're still involved there. That's so cool.
I did. So I grew up here. My family has lived here actually since right after the Civil War. My parents were Mountain Home graduates, and we lived here always. So I went through 12 years here at Mountain Home Schools. And then I went away, went to Harding to school for 4 years, became a nurse there. And while I was in school in the summers, I got to work at Baxter Regional as a nurse's aide and really decided that that's where my heart was as a nurse. After I got out of school, I worked in Springfield at what's now Mercy Hospital for a little while. And then I taught at North Arkansas College for a couple years and then decided if I was going to keep teaching, I needed to go back to school. So I moved to Dallas and worked at went to school at Texas Woman's University. And while I was there, I worked in home health for an agency in Garland.
Oh, wow.
And then life kept taking me different places. I worked in South Arkansas as a director of nurses for about 3 years. And then outside of Dallas, I worked for about 3 years as a director of nurses. And then life happened, and I got married and moved to Houston and had a family and went back to school and started teaching again. And then I've ended up back in Arkansas.
I just think your gift is teaching. I can't imagine you not being a teacher or an administrator. You're such a calming influence for students. And I've had so many students tell me how much you have meant to them as a mentor, which I think is just such a gift. And not every nurse has that gift.
I do think nurses have different gifts and different places that are the right places to be. Most nurses, once we meet other nurses, we kind of have an idea of where you're the best at, you know, and maybe not all nurses do that. I do that.
So you're analyzing everybody
for their
gifts.
So.
We probably all do that in our different careers.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah, but.
Well, you and I were talking yesterday about hospice nurses and how unique they are. And I've had some experience with hospice lately. And lots of our graduates are there. And they're a different kind of nurse.
They are. Hospice House is just the most wonderful environment. And our students get to do some clinical there. And they, many of them fall in love with that experience. And so they go back and work for a few years. Often they gain some confidence while they're there. And they it may not be somewhere they stay forever, but they at least do that while they're sometimes going back to school to be an RN. A lot of our practical nurses start there and then eventually go other places. But they get lots of good feedback from patients and from families there.
Oh, I'll bet. I'll bet. And they're just so – it's a calm environment, much different from a hospital environment or skilled nursing probably. But it's just such a calm environment, and you're just – you're working with a family, managing the time that another family member has on this earth, and you want it to be beautiful and precious.
Right. And you do have time to work with the whole family.
Yes.
And often in other situations, situations, we don't get that opportunity, and that this is a special time.
Oh, mm-hmm. I agree. I agree. You mentioned LPNs and RNs. Can you walk me through the progression of a nursing student? If I decided I wanted to be a nurse, where would I start and what would my progression be?
Well, in nursing, there are lots of different ways to get to the same goal. One, you can go directly out of high school and go to nursing school. You can choose to go to a four-year school, like I went to Harding, and you can get a bachelor's degree in nursing.
Uh-huh.
And you end up as an RN at the end of that, and you take the same exam that anybody else takes. You can also get out of high school or decide you want to be a nurse and go to a traditional associate degree nursing program. And it generally takes about two and a half years, and you graduate as an RN. You take the same exam that the BSN students took.
Huh.
The other way, and this is the way many of our students do it, is they decide they want to be a nurse. They become a CNA.
Which is what?
A certified nursing assistant, where
okay.
You're our helpers. You get to spend the most time with the patients
right.
a lot of the time.
Right.
But it's a one-semester course, or sometimes even just 4 weeks,
mm-hmm.
but it's a short course. Then you could come to LPN school, which is a licensed practical nurse. That program takes 1 year. It's a full-time program. And at the end, you take a state nursing exam. It's called an NCLEX PN, and you work as an LPN. LPNs around here generally work in doctor's offices,
mm-hmm.
maybe a hospice
mm-hmm.
house. Sometimes they do work in home health.
Mm-hmm.
They also work in long-term care facilities.
Mm-hmm.
And occasionally in the hospital, Baxter Regional doesn't mm-hmm. hire a lot when you first graduate. But many of our students work a few years as an LPN. They take a few more classes like general education courses.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's chemistry, maybe it's psychology, things they didn't have to have to go to LPN school. And then they come back to us to go to RN school. We accept two cohorts of LPNs every year.
Uh-huh.
So we accept a class that starts in January and a class that starts in August. Then we start two classes of RN students every year. We have a class that starts in January and a class that starts in June. All of those programs are 1 year, basically 11-month programs. And at the end, you're eligible to take the state board exam.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So I could be a CNA very quickly, get my feet wet.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Learn a lot about the profession by walking alongside nurses.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would become an LPN or go straight into the RN program,
yes.
just depending on what I'm
personal
interested
choices.
In doing. Right,
yes.
right.
Mm-hmm.
And time, probably.
Yes, it is. A lot of times, when I talk to students, especially high school students, I say, if you have somebody that's helping you to go to school, if you have parents who want you to be successful and they have the means to help you go to school, if you have the choice, go directly to a baccalaureate program.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's a typical college program, and that works well for a lot of people. But if you're needing to work, mm-hmm. if you have a family,
mm-hmm.
If you have other responsibilities, sometimes taking it in small bites
yes.
helps you to do that. Because at the end of each of these, you can stop and work for a while.
Right.
And except for our LPN program, where some of our students work 2 to 3 shifts, like as a CNA
uh-huh.
On the weekends. Except for that program, you can work full-time through our RN
wow.
program,
wow.
which is a little bit unusual.
Yes, mm-hmm. it is.
So our RN program is an evening program, and they do clinical one day every other week,
uh-huh.
and it typically is a Thursday or a Saturday.
Define mm-hmm. clinical.
That's where our students get to go into a healthcare facility We use long-term care facilities like a nursing home in our LPN program
mm-hmm.
part of the time. But we use Baxter Regional Hospital mm-hmm. for most of our clinical. Our students get to work in various patient care areas. Mm-hmm. They work a lot on some of the medical surgical units. They work in the rehab. Sometimes they get to visit mm-hmm. the OR or mm-hmm. the ER.
It's like an internship almost. Kind of?
It is, but you always, it is, but you will have a practical experience, yes. Our students will always have an instructor with them.
Gotcha.
So we don't just toss you out there and say, okay, you need to pick this up automatically. But clinical is different now than probably when mm-hmm. I went to school because we are really teaching and our students have to learn how to critically think.
Wow.
They have to know how to put all the pieces of, mm-hmm. about a patient and about a disease process. They need to put all those pieces together to know what to expect in the patient's care. And so our nurses really, they're very good thinkers. We teach them how to make critical decisions.
That's so cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I've been closer to the nurses in the doctor's office than I have been the doctor themselves. Doctors are so busy now that some of them are even going to a plan of medicine where you really work with the nurse more than you do the doctor.
Yes. Nurses are great teachers. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why patients and patients' families feel much closer to nurses sometimes because I get a chance or a nurse gets a chance to spend time helping answer your questions.
Yes.
And I'm often not the intimidating person, and you don't think of me as being in a hurry, so you stop and you ask your questions at that time.
That's so cool. Mm-hmm. Last question before we go to break.
Sure.
What would you say the difference is, just hypothetically, salary range between a CNA, an LPN, and an RN, if you could give me a range? Just if you're a CNA and that's your first step, what could you expect to make as a CNA?
CNAs probably, and I don't have a salary scale to tell you.
Yeah, I hate I'm putting you on the spot,
but just. And it changes. Obviously, there's a lot of need right now.
Right,
so
right.
It won't surprise me if these salaries are going up.
Good.
Which is a good thing
yes,
for us.
Yes, it is.
But CNAs generally come in, they start about $11 an hour.
Okay.
So, or a little bit over minimum wage.
Okay.
I think minimum wage is about 11 right now.
And it's going up too, so isn't that interesting?
Yeah, so it usually is just a little bit over minimum wage.
Okay.
And then LPNs are starting often around 15 or 16, sometimes more,
right.
But $15 or $16 an hour.
Uh-huh.
And then RNs are starting in the like $23 to $26 an hour.
Wow.
And that all depends on where you're working. If you go to larger areas,
sure.
Like if you go to Springfield
sure.
or Little Rock, you're probably going to make more. Northwest Arkansas, you would make more. But there are lots of opportunities, lots of openings. I think this is a great time for people who may not be working for one reason or the other mm-hmm. to think about coming back to school.
Oh, I agree.
You know, if you have some flexibility right now because of some finances or whatever, think about coming back to school because then when that time is over, you know, in a year, year and a half, you are set not to be having a minimum wage job, but you are set to take care of your family. And that's what we see a lot, especially in our LPN students, is they come in never having made more than minimum wage, many of them, and then they get out and they can go provide for their family.
That is
and
just too cool.
We watch our students change and become professionals, and that is very rewarding to us.
Oh, that just gives mm-hmm. me chills to think about it. And it's so cool to me to see a group of nursing students, and there are men in the program, and there are young people, and there are older people. Just the variety and the diversity of the classes is unique, I think, to our area, probably.
It is. All schools want to have that diversity. I think we have been able to live that diversity a little bit more than some places have. And I think one thing that helps us in our RN program is that we accept both LPNs and paramedics into our RN program. I think when our program started in 2013, we were one of maybe two, maybe the only one, but maybe one of two schools in the state of Arkansas that took paramedics
Wow.
and taught them to be RNs. And our experience has been that they are fabulous RNs. I am always so impressed with the knowledge of our medics and what good nurses they become. One of our graduates from one of our very first classes, he was a medic. He's now an RN, has finished his bachelor's degree, and he's a nurse leader at Baxter Regional Hospital.
I know exactly who you're talking about. Mm-hmm. What a cool guy he is.
He is,
just
yes.
a cool guy. Mm-hmm. And works with the education department at BRMC to help train other people too, doesn't he?
That's a different person.
Oh, okay.
But,
okay.
The one I'm talking about, he's a nurse leader on a floor.
Oh, wow.
And so now he's the one making sure care is delivered as it should be on one of these units. And he gets to hire our students.
What a testament
too.
For mm-hmm. your program. You have to be so proud. You just
we
have to
very
be so proud
of our
And
graduates.
I'm so proud to work mm-hmm. at ASU Mountain Home, where we're putting out such good nurses that we see every day in doctor's offices and all around our area. In nursing homes and mm-hmm. Other care facilities. We'll be back in just a minute. We're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to tell you how to pay for school and some other cool things that you need to know about our nursing program, some tools and some unique things that we have that nobody else has. We'll be right back.
We are truly blessed to call the Twin Lakes area our home. You know, the Twin Lakes area is the best kept secret in the state of Arkansas. We are home to Arkansas State University Mountain Home, Baxter Regional Medical Center, the Donald W. Reynolds Library serving Baxter County, and the Jim Gaston Visitor Center. Our economy is growing, our schools are strong, our churches are active, and our philanthropic spirit is unmatched. We support our community and ASU Mountain Home.
We're back from break, and I have had the best time talking to my friend and coworker, Dr. Julia Gist, who is the Dean of Health Sciences at ASU Mountain Home. And she's one of the most inspiring people that I think I know. I love visiting with Dr. Gist and learning about her life. She's got an interesting life, and you've learned a little bit about her journey to being the Dean of Health Sciences at ASU Mountain Home. One thing we didn't mention was your community health experience. What was that about and look like for you? What did that look like for you?
I got interested in community health when I was an undergraduate at Harding, and we did clinical with the public health department in around White County. Mm-hmm. And I loved going into people's homes. I loved seeing the environment that people came from. And so when I decided to go back to graduate school, I chose to specialize in community health and administration. And for many years, I did the administration part of it, and I didn't really always focus on community health. I did work in home health at times, and we started an agency when I was in South Arkansas, but that wasn't always my role. When I went back to graduate school to work on my doctorate when I lived in Houston, I got involved with a research team mm-hmm. that was headed up by Dr. Judy McFarlane, who is a researcher in community health, mm-hmm. and she works with domestic violence. And so I did all my research on how protective orders or protection orders, do they make a woman safer? Do they not? And we did a lot of research on that. And also, how to educate women to protect themselves when they had been in a dangerous situation. So we did a lot of research. We actually did two different studies over the course of about 3 years. While I was in school, I did one and did my dissertation research, and then I was a research assistant for a couple of years after I got out of school. But to that expanded my view of what nursing was and where nursing took place.
Wow.
I didn't have to be taking care of a patient in a typical healthcare setting mm-hmm. to be a community health nurse. And so my vision of what community health nursing is much larger than a typical vision, I think. And also, while I was teaching at Texas Woman's in Houston, I taught community health always, and I did community health clinical with students out in the community where we lived at the time.
Mm-hmm. It's so fascinating to me that there are so many different directions you can go as a nurse.
Yes.
There really are, from home health to skilled nursing to community health to hospitals. There are just – you find your niche just like you would in any career.
Yeah. Well, I tell people I've been a nurse since 1983. I've been an RN. And I've never had to go back and restart my education, but I've had a lot of different careers.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to take my basic nursing education and transform it into a variety of different things that I've gotten to do. So it's, to me, that's one reason nursing is a great career.
Right.
Is because I don't have to set it aside and go do something else. I'm always a nurse. But I also think a lot of people that are nurses are kind of inherently nurses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's kind of the soul that we have.
Yeah. Well, you certainly have a soul. I mean, I just see you every day inspire students. And what would be one piece of advice you could give a student? If you looked back at yourself as an 18-year-old making that decision, what would you tell somebody that you wish someone had told you when you were 18 years old, looking at maybe becoming a nurse someday? That's a tough question.
That's a hard question because 18 was a very long time ago. I would say dream.
Dream big.
And dream big.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do you mean by that?
Don't limit yourself by what you know today.
Mm-hmm. How has education changed since you were 18 years old? What tools do we have today that you didn't have when you were back in school?
So when I graduated from Mountain Home High School, we didn't have any type of career education. I had teachers who encouraged. I got to take great classes because of the teachers we had. But I didn't have any practical experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the experience I got was a job I took. You know, I became a nurse's aide at Baxter Regional when I was 18, and they taught me how to be a nurse's aide,
right?
Which I learned from great people, and so that inspired me too. But our students today have the opportunity to take classes while they're in high school. We offer classes on our campus for high school students. We offer Introduction to Health Professions, a medical procedures class. We offer medical terminology. We offer a CNA class and also an emergency medical responder course. All of those courses can be taken by high school students. And that, one, gives them an idea if they're interested in the profession. And if they do decide they're interested, it gives them a start towards their future career. So if I think I want to be a nurse, one of the ways I could do that is take the CNA class while I'm in high school, then take a healthcare anatomy and physiology course. And I can do that while I'm in high school as a concurrent class. And then I can apply for LPN school and I could start LPN school in August after I graduate from high school.
That kind of blows my mind.
It's awesome.
Blows my mind.
Yes. And we've not had very many do that. We've had a few come in January after they graduated. And we currently have one nurse who I believe she graduated in December, and she was in our high school program from one of the outlying high schools. She took our LPN program. Now she's completed her RN, and she works as an RN in our community. And she started that journey when she was in high school.
That is so cool. Mm-hmm. I wish someone had told me things like that those kinds of things were available. Maybe they weren't even available back then. I don't remember concurrent classes being available. But while you're a high school student, there are lots of classes that ASU Mountain Home offers in all of our schools that you can take while you are a high school student.
Yes, we offer both secondary classes, which are focused on our technical programs, and then we offer concurrent classes. And many of those concurrent classes you take, you get at a discount while you're in high school.
Absolutely.
And at least in Mountain Home, they offer you assistance with a class. And the state actually offers you the opportunity to take I think it's a class a semester or two classes a year as juniors and seniors. And that's a lot of credit hours you can get done while you're in high school that you don't have to pay for later when you go back to school or go on to school.
Just one of the benefits of having a community college in your community that has some great relationships with our high schools.
Yes, yes.
And those are for many of our high schools in the area, not just Mountain Home
High
School.
Yes, it's for all of them.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. The Promise Scholarship has changed kind of the whole complexion of things for Mountain Home High School students. And I know you're really involved with the Promise and serve on the board of the foundation at Mountain Home High School. What does the Promise offer students? Can you give us a little bit of background on that?
Sure. What we offer is Mountain Home High School graduates, they apply for the Promise, and it will cover any tuition that is not covered by any other source. So if you get financial aid, the Promise may not have to pay very much. But if you are a student, especially who falls in that middle area where your family makes just a little bit too much for you to get much financial aid, but your family needs some help because mom and dad are working hard to pay all the bills, that's who this is really for.
That's so awesome.
And we, you know, I think we talked earlier, we have students graduating mm-hmm. this year that have been able to utilize the Promise. And that means they've not paid for any tuition the whole time they've been at ASU Mountain Home. I can't imagine, or my kids, I can't imagine my kids haven't gotten to enjoy that.
Mm-hmm. I know. And it's for all students from Mountain Home High School.
Yes. And it doesn't matter your GPA or anything else
right.
like that.
So mm-hmm. any student from Mountain Home High School who chooses to come to ASU Mountain Home has tuition paid for if you're interested.
Yes.
And it
mm-hmm.
is quite a gift. There are lots of other scholarships that are available. I know First Security Bank has the Nelson Scholarship for nursing students.
Yes. First Security Bank has a money that's put in a trust, I believe, for a nursing scholarship. And every year, usually in November or December, the applications go out. Our students are able to – it's for all students that live in Baxter and Marion County, and they can read the instructions and apply. This last year, we had, I believe it was 11 students mm-hmm. who received the scholarship, and they each were awarded $1,700. And that's just amazing. So we encourage it. Not all students are going to apply.
Why would you not?
I don't know why you don't, but some students don't have the time, apparently.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Well, there is tons of money to go to school right now. And we talked about Arkansas Future Grant, which AR Future Grant from the state of Arkansas will cover some of the nursing programs, will it not?
It covers all of our programs in health sciences. It not just nursing, but it covers all the nursing programs, all of the EMS programs mm-hmm. and like medical coding. It covers all of those.
You mentioned mm-hmm. EMS. Let's talk about the paramedic program.
Yes.
And the sort of rebirth of that program. You
yes.
have done such great things with that program to kind of redirect where we're going with that. Tell them about
right.
that.
We changed the program a few years ago. And then this last year, we put the program on an inactive status while we searched for a new program director and to find the right program director. We know that paramedics are critical to our community and to the ambulance services around here. And so we want it to be an excellent program. And it is. Our pass rates have been at 100%, I think, for about 4 years.
That's unheard of.
Which is, yes.
Yes, it is.
National pass rates are, we're talking probably 75%
wow.
or something. But ours have stayed high. We have a very robust program.
Mm-hmm.
This year, we've hired a new program director. He begins with us on June 1st, and we are very excited to get
yes.
him into our program and into our community.
I know. I was going to say, and into the community,
yes.
because he is going to be very involved in the community.
Yes.
He's on a 12-month contract, so he'll be involved
yes.
constantly.
Yes, and he will be working closely with Baxter Regional to address what needs they have and how we work with that and try to meet those needs.
What's his name?
I can't really say his name just yet.
Oh, okay, okay. So, I don't want to put you on the spot. Sorry.
Right, that's okay. But he is moving from out of state. Mm-hmm. And so we're excited to have him. He has a lot of experience in paramedic programs. Mm-hmm. And as we've talked on the phone the last few weeks, he has pages and pages of ideas and notes that he's ready to get started with. So we will be accepting applications to the paramedic program through July 1st. The application should be put on the website mm-hmm. by May 1st. Mm-hmm. We've had to do some changes to it. Mm-hmm. We've changed a few of the prerequisites to decrease them just a little bit to get students into the program faster.
Mm-hmm. One of the coolest tools you have in the EMT paramedic program is the simulator, the ambulance simulator.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It is the coolest thing. When I'm giving tours of campus, I love to take people by to show them that. Tell people
yes.
about the ambulance
when
simulator.
When our program started and went into Godis Hall probably about 10 or 12 years ago, they built in an ambulance simulator in the back of our classroom, and it is the size of an ambulance. And so the students learn to work on the gurneys that are in there. They have the equipment, and they do carry out some of their learning in that area.
It's tighter than you think.
It is, and short.
Shorter.
You cannot stand up in
exactly.
there. Exactly. And what I think is cool about our paramedic program, as with many of our programs in health sciences, is we use simulation a lot. And in the paramedic program and in the EMT program, when we use simulation, I really never know what I will see either in a hallway or out in the parking lot. One day I looked out my window a couple years ago, and there was a car parked sideways in a parking lot, and there was a body underneath the wheel of a back or close to that.
Oh.
And I was like, oh my goodness, what is, and then I thought, oh, I know who those people are. That's a simulation. And but they were teaching our students how you have to work in tight spaces.
Yes.
How do you do the correct assessment, and what would you do for these patients?
Wow.
So we teach our students real life.
Yes, you do.
We can't always be involved in a real life situation where something horrible has happened, but we can pretend a whole lot. So we simulate a lot.
You do. Mm-hmm. And the simulation lab on the second floor of Godis Hall is phenomenal.
Yes. We have a 4-bed simulation lab with 2 observation rooms and a nurse's station. And we have a lot of really great equipment. And then over the past 3 or 4 months, we have been awarded some funds through a grant, and we got about $200,000 of more simulation equipment.
Wow.
So our simulation area is very well stocked, and we have all the cool things, and but it makes it real life.
Yes.
And that's our goal, is to make our students understand what's going to happen when they get out in the real world.
Yeah, the mannequins mm-hmm. are so lifelike, and a teacher can stand between two hospital rooms and speak for the mannequins and react
yes.
for them.
Yes.
And it is incredible to watch.
Yes,
it really is.
The last mannequin we got is called Simman 3G, and we got him about a year and a half ago through a Blue and You grant.
Wow.
And he actually cries. He can speak, but he sweats. I tell people he does everything except for get up and walk. You know, I mean, he is so lifelike. We can give him medicines, and he will react
right.
just like he got that medication.
It's just amazing. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. I would love to take anyone through the health
sure.
sciences building, and I'm mm-hmm. sure you would too. Sarah Smith is our advisor, and I know she would love to visit
yes.
with anyone who mm-hmm. is interested in the nursing program. I have to say kudos before we wrap up to the nursing students for all they've done with the COVID shots. How many shots would you say those ladies and men have given?
I think by the end of tomorrow, after we help with on Wednesday with the final Baxter Regional Clinic, we will have given about 14,000 vaccines. And we've done it with faculty. Most all of my faculty have been involved. All of our LPN students, which is about 27, mm-hmm. have participated. And then our several of our RN students, a little over 20 of our RN students, have participated. And we've worked long hours and multiple days to do that. And I have yet to hear anybody complain.
I think they have all felt so much the impact that they're making on our community, and that this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that they will never see again as a nurse, probably,
right?
Or as a paramedic or as an instructor. I mean, it's just something you see only once.
It is, and I think our community relationships, especially with Baxter Regional Hospital right now, has facilitated that for us because – and the community health nurse that I am, I'm always looking at how do we do things outside of the typical thing. And
And
I've been involved with the COVID-19 response at ASU Mountain Home. And so
you've led that, I might add.
To the way we get past this is through vaccinations. And so our part to play, because we have the skills, is to be able to help with those vaccines. And so I was on the phone as soon as we started hearing about that there was a vaccine coming. I was on the phone saying, you know, to the health department and then to Baxter Regional, how do we become a part of this? We can be your hands. If you don't have enough people to do it, we want to help with this. And so it kind of just blossomed from there. And we have thoroughly enjoyed being partners with the Office of Emergency Management, with the Health Department, and with Baxter Regional.
It says a lot about your community health background that you would want to do that. And the way you've led the COVID response at ASU Mountain Home has just been something to be very proud of. You should be very proud.
Well, it has been obviously something totally unexpected, but I've really enjoyed getting to participate in that. I'm doing what I do at the college for COVID-19 has meant that I got to be involved in a lot of meetings on a statewide basis and got to hear what other places were doing and how they were responding. And I think we are lucky to have lived in a small community, and the way we've been able to function here has been very good. I told Dr. Myers, as soon as I got off one of the early calls, I said, I've never been so thankful that we don't have dorms on our campus.
Isn't that the truth?
Yes.
It's been hard enough to maintain distance in the community, but thankfully we did not have to deal with dorms.
Yes.
No kidding.
Yes.
Well, you've done a beautiful job,
as have
our students who have participated and our faculty members. Everyone's got to be exhausted, but we've got summer school starting and new nursing programs starting, so y'all are just going to kick it into high gear, I know, and be ready for the next round of classes.
We are. We run our programs 12 months every year, so there's not a lot of downtime anytime in Gotis Hall.
Well, we would love to show you around Gotis Hall or help you get enrolled in the next round of classes. So go online at asumh.edu and fill out an application. Call us at 508-6100 and we'll give you a tour and help you become a nurse or a paramedic or any other thing that you dream of as soon as we can. Thanks, and we'll be back with another edition of Awesome Talk next week. This is Christy Kern, and I look forward to introducing you to the people and programs of ASU Mountain Home. Thanks for listening to Awesome Talk. We're so excited to tell you about the great things going on our campus. And if you know someone who's awesome that you'd like to hear more about or from, please contact me at ASU Mountain Home and let me know who that is, and we'll try to get them on a show. I am Christy Kern. I'm at 508-6109, and I would love to hear from you. If you need more information about getting started at ASUMH, you can visit our website at asumh.edu.
This has been Awesome Talk, a production of ASU Mountain Home.